I've been looking at my notes this morning. I don't even know what the date is. It's December 10th, 2014. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm always reviewing the approach that I make to others, and that's pretty much what I was starting with this morning. My fallback is always the unclaimed inheritance and lost treasures. And, while I was thinking about this morning, one of the first things that struck me was that I remember one of the toughest things. I think one of the most startling things and toughest, well, startling things that I realized and toughest perhaps to accept was that the reason things are the way they are is because that's the way we choose them to be, we as human beings. And of course, that statement involves the fact of the basis of my perspective that we're all co-creators of our own individual actualities, and then the inherent system combines those individual actualities to render collective reality. And then, based on that operation or function, we're all co-operators of the collective of our collective reality. And so, again, that was one of the most startling realizations I made. It shouldn't have startled me, but I think it's kind of a given if if you look or if you think about this in any way. But I think when I recognized the full truth of it, that it's the reason there is so much suffering, pain and suffering and tragedy and starvation and all the other things is because that's the way humans choose it to be. We humans collectively choose it to be. And so I was thinking about that just a little bit, and actually what I realized, if I look back into history, before the Age of Enlightenment and science and technology, the conditions, the human condition was pretty hard naturally. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back to the concept of the Garden of Eden, although I could. I mean, that might be, worth exploring in a certain venue. But in practical terms, I think about the early history of the settlers and how 1 or 2 years of drought could almost devastate them and put them in a position where they were starving and, either made, certain moves in order to avoid starvation or pulled out. I mean, I'm sure some of them starved, either in place or during their transition to try to get to a better situation. But I think that now that we've reached the level of science and technology that we have, a lot of those conditions, the harsh conditions of life on Earth and the circumstances that we're born into as part of the human condition, in large part, those challenges could be overcome if we had the will to do so. Now, the third rail, you know, we talk, you know, I hear this sometimes on different political shows, and they talk about, you know, I know one of them was in the United States, it was the topic of Social Security. It's the third rail. If you want to get, you know, if you want to get hit by that electrocution and, you know, basically throw yourself as a sacrificial lamb, that's what they said by the third rail. That's what they indicated by that. Start talking about the things that we really need to do in order to fix or in order to address the viability, the long-term viability of the Social Security program, because nobody wants to hear the truth. And so with that said, the third rail that I had kind of, you know, the third rail as a human being and as a philosopher, you know, looking forward into time as a visionary projecting the current trends, I think for me, probably that third rail is what's come to be known as the population bomb. In other words, it's how do we find a way to, you know, let me say something. This all relates back to the conflict of forces, which is sustainability versus extinction. And overpopulation is, and then therefore overutilization of resources, is definitely one of the major threats to long-term sustainability. So with that said, the question becomes, okay, so how do we find a way to manage our population growth and do it in a humane way and in a way that's fair? And I don't have the answer to that. I just suspect that it's one of those topics that if we're going to get real about long-term sustainability, again, you know, this is all about how to approach others. And with, you know, I have one of the ways I've been thinking about this is in terms of the unclaimed inheritance and the lost treasures. Another way, another approach is the conflict of forces and human conflict. And of course, related to that is the casting of spells and the casting of roles. So, you know, we have challenges that we're facing, but the thing is it just seems to me that we're not really taking down the veil of half-truths. We're not taking down the veil of, or rendering transparent the veil of the third rail. In other words, they'll talk around the issues that we really need to address, but they will not address them directly. And I know there's obvious reasons. One, of course, is religion. And so, but if we're not willing to make a stand and stand and point to that truth, then in the end, we're really doing a disservice to ourselves and to others. So, when I was thinking about my, when I was thinking about how I can, I guess it comes down to the elevator speech. These could be considered some fairly a kind of abstract and or deep subjects, and B, taboo, as I said, the third rail. And so the challenge becomes, how do you even approach someone with these types of topics? And in the past, I've always believed that the unclaimed inheritance and lost treasures was one of the best approaches that I had ever come up with. That comes down to me finding a way to introduce those topics so that there's a motivation on the participant's part to become more engaged in the process. Now, I realize that there are those who will always choose to, their inclination, their temperament will be to be more passive. But I do believe in the conversion factor. I do believe that there be some that this could spark an interest in them, spark an interest, and they'll become more engaged and may become converted from a more passive to a more active participant. Now, with that said, that doesn't speak to which side their participation will come down on. It may come down on the side, their inclination may be more to the troll nature, or it could be more to the avatar nature. So, my thing is, my privilege and responsibility is not so much to try to force them into what I perceive to be the better and guide them away from the worse. I see my role, my duty, my responsibility as being to inform them of the differences, most especially the differences in value between the two, and then entrusting to them the power of their choice. I mean, honestly, I have no other choice there. I mean, it is their choice to make. But by providing them with the closest approximation of truth, with the knowledge, understanding, and whatever wisdom that I can impart to them from my perspective, that empowers them to make an informed choice. And I really see that as the best thing that I, it's kind of like the highest standard that I can accomplish. Now, I had said in one of my earliest notes that I'm offering my thimbleful, and so this is the closest approximation of truth that I'm currently aware of. That's my thimbleful. But what I said is, as we combine these thimblefuls, my thimbleful and your thimbleful and our neighbor's thimbleful and, our co-workers and our friends and family, as these are combined, the end result is our cup runneth over. So this is where collectively, I think that comes back to the model of the symphony and center and the synergistic effect. We can accomplish together what none of us individually could do alone. But it's in that combination of having a shared goal or even higher, a shared vision. And so, this is why it all comes back to the casting of roles, the casting of spells, and the casting of roles, and conversion. It really all comes back to conversion. You change the course of thought, and thereby, therefore, through that, you change the course of events. You change the course of thought, you change the course of events. That's really why the paradigm shift is so valuable and so important, because it's about being moved. That's why I refer to the heart of the matter. You can persuade perhaps through the intellect, but it's the heart of the matter. It's if someone is moved, I think that's when they really, it really, I don't know. I just seems to me that's the true level of conversion, when they're moved. And I could be wrong about that, but I think, I think that's why the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I really think that saying is addressing that, because not caring about how much you know, that's the intellectual component. It's knowing how much you care, that's matters of the heart. That's how, to me, that's the true impact, when they truly understand how much you care. So, anyway, I'm gonna kind of cut it off there because I have to go on a service call. But in the end, I think that this approach that I make to others, I was looking through my notes, and I just, it just seems to me that our, why, I guess the question I would ask myself is why, well, why am I finding it so difficult to approach others with this material, with my perspectives to share? And in the end, I know that part of the secret key to this is coming up with that story, our story to tell. But I know part of it is in my humility, because I'm not pretending to have all the answers. In fact, I have come to see, I have come to realize that the it's about formulating the question. In some respects, the question is the most valuable part, because it's the question that frames the answer. And so, I guess in that respect, what I'm approaching others with is I'm saying, and maybe this is perhaps one of the things that's making it so difficult for me, or the challenge of it, I'm not saying to someone else, I have the answer. What I'm saying is, let me help you to understand the value of asking the more important questions. And I think that you know, I think that's where I'm suspecting it's a tough sell. And it may not be. When I get that story, when I figure out how to do the story, you know, when I formulate the storyline, maybe that will be a lot easier than I am imagining that it will be. But, you know, it's until you're there, it always seems like a more uphill struggle than perhaps it really is. So, anyway, I guess that's about all for now. I'll come back to this. Like I said, I kind of got distracted because I got a call and I need to go out on a service call. But it, you know, I just want to make progress, and this is what I'm trying to do by making these, some of these recordings. I'm trying to organize my thoughts of the challenges that I'm facing currently. If you can name it, you can command it. And so I'm trying to exercise command over this process so I can bring this project to fruition. I want to see results, and I want to get to the point where I'm uploading some training videos, some, you know, however I'm going to do this, however I'm going to produce these, however I'm going to produce the deliverables so that I can share them with others. That's really what I'm focused on right now. That's it for now. Signing off.